when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Wednesday, February 14th, in the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andrew believes the speculated legal action anticipated against the Calypsonian signals a threat to freedom of expression as guaranteed by Dominica's constitution.
Big Station.
Grenada's Prime Minister Deacon Mitchell unveils a 25-year plan for a healthier, more educated and productive nation as part of their 2035 National Sustainable Development Plan. And former President Donald Trump has petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to halt a judicial ruling that dismissed his assertion of immunity from prosecution for efforts to overturn the outcome of the 2020 election. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
20% storewide. Now that's unbeatable value you will love. Find it only at Quartz. We've got the best range in appliances, electronics, furniture, and so much more. With the best quality and the best prices. Now that's a match you'll love. Get it today with no cash and pay over time. Only at Quartz. Bringing value home. Special conditions apply. Offer ends February 24, 2024.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre has spoken out against what he perceives as a concerning trend of government operatives launching aggressive attacks on certain Calypsonians and songwriters, including prominent figures like Pat Aaron and King Dice. He pointed to instances where Calypso songs were labeled as weapons against the current political leadership, questioning the absence of similar reactions to past songs criticizing the government of those days. Dr. Andre expressed deep concerns over reports of legal action being anticipated against a Calypsonian, viewing it as a troubling sign of the erosion of freedom of expression as enshrined in Dominica's constitution.
In recent times, over the last few years, many persons regarded by all and sundry as government operatives have launched a vicious attack on certain Calypsonians, certain songwriters, more particularly Pat Aaron, who was honored just recently, and more particularly the Dice. But there are others, and this is well orchestrated. One operative recently said that Calypso has been weaponized, I guess, against the political directorate. Where was he when one of the acolytes sang a song with the lyric Nupavle Minister Borga or something to that effect? Was it weaponized then? Was it weaponized in the past? When some of these self-sale acolytes who preach a gospel of subservience, when in a prior life they were very objective and critical of what's happening in the political firmament. So this is an orchestrated attack, quite frankly. It's an indication as to the death or the apparent or the imminent death of freedom of expression or freedom of association as guaranteed by the constitutional right, by the constitution. So that when we hear suggestions that somehow the prosecutorial office has some issues with a particular song, that is to say, a suggestion that the prosecution of persons is selective, and to the extent that what I heard is correct, that there is some threat of legal action.
Dr. Andre questioned the basis for the anticipated legal action against the Calypsonian, raising concerns about alleged selectivity in prosecuting cases. He suggests that there may be neglect in pursuing legal action in more significant cases.
Legal action on what basis? The officer of the DPP nullified the case after receiving a letter or letters from lawyers who were involved in a case in which the CCJ sent back the case involving electoral petitions back to the magistrate's court for trial. Those persons who were seeking to prosecute government ministers, if my information is correct, include, for example, Simon, former Attorney General of Antigua, who certainly knows a thing or two about criminal law, and yet the case was nulliprost because the officer of the DPP concluded that the evidence fell far short of that is required to launch a prosecution. Well, we all know the decision stunk and reeked of political interference. And there are other cases, Mr. G, over the years. Take, for instance, Gron Emanuel. It may have been a different DPP then, but what happened was clear. Despite a confession, which is typically what police enforcement look for in any particular case, a confession, they found a blatant and dishonest way not to prosecute those who allegedly were involved in the attempted murder, firebombing of Gron Emanuel. And there are other cases which raises serious questions and concerns about the criteria for prosecuting certain individuals.
And that was Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Oscar George, the Minister of State with responsibility for youth and sports, reiterated the government's dedication to fostering sports development on the island. He highlighted several initiatives, including the establishment of a sports academy. George also touted the ministry's efforts to assess and improve various sporting facilities, aiming to upgrade or implement measures for their enhancement. Additionally, he emphasized the importance of recognizing local talent, citing Shama Joseph as a notable example. He spoke at the returning ceremony for West Indies under 19 team captain Stephen Pascal.
In terms of cricket development, the Ministry of Sports and the government by extension, we are committed to this. We have put in place a number of initiatives, starting with the academy. We have recently started a program where we go across the communities, looking at playing facilities to ensure that we can upgrade them or ensure that we can put in place a plan for upgrading. And I think it's important because it's important that we identify talent at the local community level. And I think that Shama Joseph is one prime example of that. I think a couple years ago, he was just a security guard. And the efforts of the Guyana Cricket Board identifying this guy and getting him in cricket and getting him in the nets and then ultimately for West Indies cricket, it proved what we wanted in West Indies cricket. So it's all good that we perform at the highest level, but we have to remember that everything starts at the grassroots level. And of course, I want to say that we support grassroots development, and of course, we look forward to building more facilities to ensure that our athletes can perform.
George advised Pascal that his role as the captain of the West Indies under 19 team speaks volume not only for himself but also for Dominica as a whole. He expressed confidence that Pascal will serve as an inspiration to younger generations, encouraging them to pursue similar paths.
Stephen, playing for the West Indies cricket team, you know, is something that many young cricketers aspire. I'm sure that even persons in here aspire to play for the West Indies or aspire to play for the West Indies. And the reality is that many of those will never get that opportunity. And not just you played for the West Indies team, but you're also captain of this West Indies team. And you know, that speaks volumes, not just for yourself, but for Dominica. And I believe what I will do is it will inspire other young cricketers, your age group, and of course, younger than you, to follow your footsteps. And you will play an important role in that future for cricket and for youth development in cricket. People will look up to you, Stephen, for advice. You will now become a role model of many young cricketers across Dominica. Obviously, that will mean higher expectations. It will mean a lot more pressure on you as a player, playing for your club, playing for your school, playing for whatever team you play for. But I think you're fully prepared to face that obstacle and to face that level of pressure and expectation that will be placed on your shoulders. So I think I am very comforted in what I saw in South Africa. I am very comforted in the level of support you receive from your mom and your dad and your entire family. You know, just looking at them flying the flag of Dominica all the way in South Africa, you know, sometimes, you know, just looking at them give me some chills. You know, I'm just saying that, yes, this is the model parent for any athlete in Dominica.
Minister of State with Responsibility for Youth and Sports, Oscar George. In its continuing commitment to disaster preparedness and risk reduction, IsraAid has generously donated a laptop and projector to the Dominica Fire and Ambulance Service. These essential items are intended to enhance the efficiency of the service in carrying out its duties effectively. Additionally, this donation serves as a token of appreciation for the service's unwavering support over the years. The laptop will be allocated to the fire prevention unit, while the projector will be utilized by the operations department. Mrs. Winella Francis, IDRA AIDS senior program officer, expressed gratitude for the strong partnership with the fire service, particularly in the past year. Collaborative efforts have included hosting fire prevention and first aid sessions for parents and teachers of preschools, as well as search and rescue training in the southern region. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95da.com. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit has emphasized the critical importance of swiftly advancing the use of technology in agriculture for Dominica, especially in the face of environmental challenges posed by climate change. He highlighted the global issue of agricultural labor shortage amid significant economic development, asserting that transitioning to technological solutions in agriculture is imperative for countries like Dominica.
There's no way in these modern times, with all of the environmental challenges brought on by climate change, that we ought not to advance the use of technology in agriculture more rapidly. And we, in respect to vegetables, there's no other way but technology. The use of hydroponics and other technological systems. With the challenges the world has with agricultural labor, and even in China you have challenges with agricultural labor because of the vast economic development that has taken place. So every country in the world is challenged with agricultural labor, and we have to go the route of technology in agriculture. And hydroponics in terms of vegetables, you know, fruits, strawberries and others, that is the way to go. And we will provide the fullest support to the Minister for Agriculture to ensure that we can use the technology in the commercial aspect of agriculture. So it's a challenge out there to existing and emerging farmers that you need to avail yourself of the technology.
Mr. Skerrit expressed optimism regarding the transformative potential of technology in agriculture, envisioning a future where farming can occur in any location. He highlighted Dominica's abundant resources, affirming the country's capability to embrace the use of technology in agriculture.
What I would like to see in Dominica is that a guy can be sitting at his desk at the National Bank and he can pull up his iPad on his cell phone and look at his farm and ensure that the irrigation system is working, and he can apply the fertilizer to his system. That is where we have to go. And the use of solar for the generation of electricity and energy to propel the system. So we have all of what is required to advance the use of technology in agriculture. The other issue has to do with the health and wellness, and this is where the consumers come in. People talk about agriculture, but the real power of ensuring that farmers benefit from the hard work rests with the consumers. And we as Dominicans, we as consumers, must make a concerted effort to buy what is grown locally from our farmers. And if we go to the supermarkets and we demand locally produced items, then the supermarkets will sell them. And so it's important for us to buy local, to help the local economy, to help the farmers, to generate more revenue from their farms, so that we can grow more and ensure food security and sustainability.
And that was Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. According to Mr. Oliver Frederick, Security and Safety Manager at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, the hospital is instituting protocols in response to observed trends during emergency incidents or accidents. Frederick emphasized the necessity of implementing stringent security measures to safeguard medical practitioners while providing patient care in a secure environment.
No response to the trend has been observed at the hospitals during emergency situations involving incidents or accidents. When persons come to the hospital in large numbers, while the medical professionals are in the process of providing the necessary care to patients, it has become absolutely necessary to enforce strict security measures to ensure the medical practitioners provide the necessary care to patients in a safe and secure environment. Emergency situations may involve motor vehicle accidents, stabbing, gunshot wounds, other forms of ailment which requires immediate or urgent attention, among others. As a result, there should be no congregation on the hospital compound. A minimum of two immediate family members or next of kin at a time will be allowed with the patient. Immediate family members or next of kin will update other relatives and friends of the status of the patients accordingly.
Frederick also highlighted that individuals visiting the hospital should anticipate undergoing screening and scanning procedures conducted by security officers and police prior to gaining entry to the premises.
Immediate family members or next of kin, if driving, are asked to park in the parking lot outside before approaching security for access to the hospital. Expect to be scanned by the hospital security and the police for firearms and all other forms of weapons prior to accessing the hospital compound. No trespassing on the hospital compound. CCTV cameras are installed throughout the hospital facility. Persons will be monitored while on the hospital compound. No access will be granted outside visiting hours. Visiting hours are 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on weekdays, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on weekends and holidays. The full cooperation of the general public is kindly solicited by management and staff of the Dominica Hospitals Authority to ensure that your loved ones who are affected get the necessary care and attention in a safe and secure environment in the quickest possible time. I thank you for your cooperation.
Security and Safety Manager at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, Mr. Oliver Frederick. Treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, John Blanchard, has raised concerns following statements made by the Prime Minister regarding compensation or lack thereof for residents and landowners of Wesley who have been displaced by land acquisition for the construction of an international airport. The Prime Minister stipulated that presenting land ownership titles is a prerequisite for receiving compensation. Blanchard highlighted the issue, noting that tradition of passing land from one generation to the next without certificates of title means that many individuals may not possess formal land ownership documents and may therefore not be duly compensated despite the utilization of their lands and displacement caused by the government's actions.
Our problem is the conditions before paying the people of Wesley for their land. We have an issue with that because a number of Wesley residents may be living or occupying some of these properties for decades without a title. However, there could be a will that was never probated to give them the right of ownership to the property. That does not mean the property doesn't belong to them. But it takes a process. Sometimes people doesn't have the money to go and probate a will and to get a valuation and so on, or apply for a first title. These things take a lot of time and money. But that's the property that passed on from family to family for decades. You're trying to use a little technicality there and not to settle people. You displace them. They have to go elsewhere. Maybe not as nice as, you know, as where they were. There's a great inconvenience. And when you're talking about, you must present a title. But why are you talking about they have to present a title to get paid? They are not giving the people title that they give the apartments, you know. Apartments all over Dominica, they are without titles. They are without titles. But we're making a big force now for people to present their titles at Wesley before they get paid for the property.
Blanchard emphasized that it is essential for the government to recognize that compensation the people of Wesley for their land acquired for the developmental project is not doing them a favor. Instead, these individuals are rightfully entitled to receive adequate compensation for their properties.
There could be so many reasons why people could have their land, living on their land with a title. You also have the possibility where these properties family land, and probably the grandfather, great-grandmother, whoever, never even really applied for the title, okay? It just keep going on from family to family and so on. But this is the family property. Now, what's Kevin must remember that he's not doing the people a favor to pay them for their property. It is not a favor. They are entitled to it. It's not a favor. I don't know if Minister Rampel have gotten the money already, but Minister Rampel and others, Maureen and others, have been calling the radio consistently asking for the money. Properties has been taken away. Some of them were demolished. Some of them, you have Chinese living there, raiding pigs. So it has been taken away from them. It's no longer their property, but you have not paid them for it. I mean, the first time I heard of it in Dominica, you know, because when a government acquires so much property, the first thing they do is do an evaluation and you pay the person for the property. Lamem.
Treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, John Blanchard. In other news, Grenadian Prime Minister Deacon Mitchell has unveiled an ambitious development plan titled Vision 75, aimed at fostering a healthier and more educated and productive nation over the next quarter of a century. The announcement came on February 5th, just 2 days before Grenada celebrated its Golden Independence Jubilee. Addressing a packed audience gathering to hear his speech, the Prime Minister described Vision 75 as a continuation of the 2035 National Sustainable Development Plan, which was crafted by Grenadians during the previous administration, led by Prime Minister Dr. Keith Mitchell. However, setbacks include the coronavirus pandemic and the 2022 general elections, which brought the current government to power, delayed the plan's implementation. Prime Minister Mitchell emphasized that the 2035 National Sustainable Development Plan represents the collective aspirations of Grenadians and should not be sidelined by political differences. On the Vision 75, Grenada's development will be guided by pillars focusing on health, education, agriculture, energy security, and society. In terms of health, Mitchell expressed concerns about the prevalence of livestock diseases such as diabetes and hypertension among islanders, attributing to their dietary habits. He highlighted the consumption of roadside barbecue and fried foods often made with imported chicken of questionable quality. Mitchell emphasized the need for healthier dietary choices and plans into a billion-dollar medical tourism industry by establishing a teaching hospital to train more doctors and support the sector. And on Monday, Donald Trump appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to delay a judicial ruling that dismissed his assertion of immunity from prosecution regarding attempts to overturn the 2020 election results. Trump argued that without such protection, the presidency as we know it will cease to exist, seeking to reclaim the presidency in the upcoming November 5th U.S. general elections.
Donald Trump on Monday asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in the ruling that denies him absolute immunity. He's asking for a pause on a judicial decision rejecting his claim he's immune from being prosecuted for trying to overturn his loss in the 2020 election.
And I feel that as a president, you have to have immunity. Very simple.
Trump's lawyers argued in a brief to the Supreme Court that without such a shield, the presidency as we know it will cease to exist. As Trump runs for re-election, his legal team are trying to get an appeals court in Washington, D.C. that rejected his claims of immunity in the federal criminal case against him. They want the court's full slate of judges involved rather than just a three-judge panel that made the ruling. And now they want the Supreme Court justices to pause the criminal trial proceedings while they make their case. In their brief, the lawyers painted a dark picture of what would befall future presidents if Trump's criminal prosecution is allowed to proceed, repeating warnings that have failed in other courts so far. They said, quote, "The threat of prosecution will become a political cudgel used to influence the most sensitive and important presidential decisions with the menace of personal vulnerability after leaving office." In the February 6 ruling, the D.C. judges stated that the risk that former presidents will be unduly harassed by meritless federal criminal prosecutions appears slight, and said there was no functional justification for giving former presidents full protection from federal prosecution.
If I don't get immunity, then crooked Joe Biden doesn't get immunity.
Trump faces four criminal trials, including two surrounding alleged efforts to overturn his election loss, one a federal case, the other at state level. In the federal case Trump is seeking immunity against, he's accused of conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring against and obstructing the congressional certification of Joe Biden's electoral victory, and conspiring against the right of Americans to vote. Prosecutors argue that Trump was acting as a candidate, not a president, when he pressured officials to overturn the election results and encouraged his supporters to march to the Capitol on January 6, 2021, to push Congress not to certify Biden's win.
That's the midday news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre believes the speculated legal action anticipated against a Calypsonian signals a threat to freedom of expression as guaranteed by Dominica's constitution. Grenada's Prime Minister Deacon Mitchell unveils a 25-year plan for a healthier, more educated and productive nation as part of their 2035 National Sustainable Development Plan. And a former President Donald Trump has petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to halt a judicial ruling that dismissed his assertion of immunity from prosecution for efforts to overturn the outcome of the 2020 elections. 5DA.com. The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I am Ferdinand Valman.
When it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.